Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Today's lesson is out of Proverbs chapter 22, verse 1. The Bible says, "A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold." And today we're going to talk about loving favor, particularly loving favor with God. Loving favor is rather to be chosen than silver and gold. Now, according to this verse, you should desire loving favor more than you desire silver and gold. The truth of the matter is most people wouldn't turn down a little silver and gold. And my memory from banking is that most people spend a great deal of time chasing silver and gold. But they didn't spend so much time cultivating favor with God. I know when I was first in the business, I didn't concern myself with cultivating favor with God. I was concerned about making money. But Solomon said that loving favor is better than silver and gold. Now notice, we're going to look at some people in the Bible, and we're going to notice that one of the outstanding characteristics of some of these notable figures is that they obtained favor with God. Now here's the list. Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 2 verse 52 said, "Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." Mary. Bible says in Luke chapter 1 verse 30, "The angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." How about David? In Acts chapter 7 and verse 46, the Bible says, "Who found favor before God and desired to find a tabernacle for the God of Jacob." Daniel also was one who had loving favor. The Bible says in Daniel 1:9, "Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs." And I realized the favor came from the prince of the eunuchs, but it was God that did it. Abraham, Genesis 18, verse 3. The Bible says, "And said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant." And he was talking to the Lord God, who had appeared to him in a bodily form. Samuel, in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 26. The Bible says, "The child Samuel grew on and was in favor, both with the Lord and also with men." Look at this list. Jesus Christ, Mary, the mother of Jesus, David, Daniel, Abraham, and Samuel. Let me tell you something. That is a prestigious list of Bible characters, and those notable characters in the Bible have something in common. They all obtained favor with God. So what we want to look at today is we want to look at the means by which men may obtain loving favor with the Lord. And according to the Bible, there are a number of things that you can pursue that will give you favor with God. A man obtains loving favor with the Lord by these things. Number one, by righteousness. Psalm chapter 5, verse 12 says, "For thou, Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield." Isn't that beautiful? "For thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield." Now, the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. Okay? So this righteousness that allows you to obtain loving favor with the Lord is not so much finding out what the Lord wants you to do, like, you know, the will of God, what's right among the right things of several good choices. But basically, it is doing the right thing versus doing the wrong thing. Now, when you do right and turn from wickedness, you're going to definitely find favor with the Lord because he loves righteousness. Now, I've noticed in my own life over the numbers of years of serving the Lord God, there's an interesting correlation between yielding to the righteousness of Jesus Christ in my life until his righteousness becomes more and more manifest and more evident, and that sense of having a favorable relationship with the Lord. I've seen it in the lives of other people as well. When people don't sense that loving favor of the Lord, they're motivated principally by their conscience and principally by guilt. If they've gone to church and they've said the right thing to somebody and they've read their Bible and they've prayed, they feel good about themselves because of what they've accomplished. If they are struggling with a particular sin in their lives and things aren't going quite so well, then they're motivated more by guilt, like, I feel ashamed, I need to read more Bible, I need to get to church more often. We'll find this often when we're out doing Fishers of Men, where we're knocking on people's doors and distributing New Testaments and talking to them about the Lord Jesus Christ. The question will come up, do you have a church? No, I don't. Have you been to church? Oh, yes, I used to when I was younger, but I don't go quite as much as I used to. Kind of that guilt thing. Man, you just don't want to be there with the Lord. If there is a way to have loving favor with God, where you go to sleep at night, you wake up in the morning, and you spend your day during the day knowing that you are receiving favor with God or enjoying a favorable relationship with the Lord, you want to live there. And you do that by righteousness, by making right choices, by choosing right things over wrong things. Here's another way a man obtains loving favor with the Lord. He obtains loving favor with the Lord by mercy and truth. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 3 and 4 say this, "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man." So here, to have favor with God, we need to extend mercy to others. On the one hand, we need to live in the truth. Well, one of the greatest ways to extend mercy to other people is to forgive them. And, there are numerous cases in the Bible of this. We also find in the Bible in 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 26, the Bible says, "With the merciful thou wilt show thyself merciful." So one of the great things is to recognize that Jesus Christ was very merciful, God Almighty is merciful, and to the extent that you are merciful, you are very much like they are. And to the extent that you are like the Lord in mercy, obviously you find yourself in favor with the Lord because it's what he desires that we do. When he was teaching his disciples the Lord's Prayer, he was, you know, "Our Father which art in heaven," and so forth like that. When he finished that up, he said, "Forgive men their trespasses, because if you don't forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses." Well, we know now since the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, since he died on the cross for us, things have changed. Now we forgive men, not so we can be forgiven, but we forgive men because we have been forgiven. He says in Ephesians 4:32, "Be ye kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." See? In other words, it's Christ forgave you, the Father forgave you, and as a result of that, it's easier for you to forgive others because in truth, there's nothing anybody's ever done to you that's worse than what you've done to the Lord. And so mercy puts you in favor with God. Obviously, it puts you in favor with men because men appreciate it when you extend mercy to them. It puts you in favor with God because it's by his mercy that we're saved. "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us," the Bible says. And that certainly puts you in a favorable relationship with the Lord. But here, Proverbs 3:3-4 said not only mercy, but mercy and truth. And I believe those are hand in hand. They are like brother and sister. So often we want to extend mercy where there's not truth, not a good thing. And sometimes we want truth very harsh without mercy. That's not a good thing. You want the combination. If you tell your children, tell me the truth, and they do, then you want to extend mercy when they're seeking your forgiveness. If you want to extend mercy to your children because you love them, but they're being dishonest with you and dishonest with God, that's out of favor. That's not good. They both need to be there. Now, when we're truthful, we're not false witnesses. So we don't repeat matters that aren't true. We don't say things that are unkind and uncharitable and certainly not true about other people. We're not slanderous. We're not exaggerators. You know, people have often said funny things about preachers, and preachers say these funny things about themselves. They'll say, I'm telling you the truth now. I'm not preaching. Meaning that when I preach, I embellish my stories in order to make them more dramatic or more a lasting impression upon your mind. But truly, we should not be exaggerators. Somebody should be able to repeat anything that we say to any other person and anybody else that hears it who could verify the facts or who already knows the facts would understand that what you just repeated is exactly the way the matter happened. So not false witnesses, not exaggerators. We're not to be liars. You know, and I'll tell you honestly, lying is so expedient. It's been expedient ever since the days of Cain and Abel. It's been expedient even back there, you know, in the blame game of Genesis chapter 3, when the devil lied to Eve about God's words and whether or not she would die after eating the fruit. So lying's just been going on ever since, and people today nonchalantly talk about lying in politics and lying in the courtroom and lying to get what you want in business. And it's so expedient, it's so accepted today. And yet David said, I'm not going to let a liar stand before me. I don't want anything to do with liars. They were abominable to David, and they should be to us as well, particularly when we are the ones doing the lying. And you ought to get in the habit of just telling the truth. When the telemarketer calls you and you really don't want to talk to him, don't tell him you don't have time right now, if you did. Don't tell them that you're not there if you really are, or have your children say that you're not there if you really are. Just tell them, I don't want to talk to you. I don't want what you're offering. I mean, just be honest. You say, well, I don't want to be that honest. I don't want to hurt their feelings. It's not going to hurt their feelings. Those people, they have thick skin, man. They're doing this for a business. The only time they get hurt is when they think they had a sale and they missed it. And if they're not going to have a sale with you, you free up their time if you let them go. You're not going to buy from them anyway. They make money on volume. If they can't make any money with you, tell them, hey, you're not going to make any money with me. I don't want your product. Call somebody else. Hang up. Be honest. We want to be one who doesn't withhold truth. When there's more to be said than has been said and there's no reason to filter it, be truthful. We need to be true with God. We need to be true with ourselves. We need to be true with our family. We need to be true with our friends. We need to be true with our acquaintances. Paul said to Timothy, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not. And you ought to have that kind of confidence about your own mouth. Now listen, you want favor with the Lord? Walk in righteousness. You want favor with the Lord? Walk in mercy and truth. Here's another way. You want favor with the Lord? You get that by wisdom. By wisdom. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 35 says, for whoso findeth me findeth life and shall obtain favor of the Lord. That's in the context in Proverbs chapter 8 of wisdom. You see, wisdom comes from the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If you don't fear God, you have no wisdom. You have maybe earthly wisdom or sensual wisdom or education wisdom, but you don't have the wisdom of God because you don't get that until you fear the Lord. And it is impossible to obtain wisdom apart from the words of God. I'll tell you, you want some wisdom? First of all, pray. James chapter 1, verse 5 says that if you pray to the Lord, he'll give you wisdom. And then what you do is you turn to the Bible and you start reading. This Bible, it is amazing, is filled with wisdom and will answer every concern for wisdom that you need. Now, sometime it may be that you can't actually find the wisdom that you need because the Bible's a big book and perhaps you can't remember something you read. You can get wisdom from good counsel as long as the counsel is coming from somebody who is well acquainted with the words of God and well acquainted with the Lord, who's a faithful servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. They already have walked through some things you're trying to go through, and they can give you wisdom because they've learned in the fear of the Lord and from experience up with the Lord things that are going to help you. So you need to spend some time in the Bible, and you need to have friends upon whom you can rely for good counsel. And both of these are going to keep you in good favor with God. Now, I've been in the ministry quite some time now and pastored for quite some time now. But I still have friends of mine that are in the ministry that have been in the ministry twice as long as I have, or nearly twice as long. And I call them. I cultivate good friendships with them and call them from time to time whenever I'm dealing with a particular concern. We've got a good staff. These men have a lot of wisdom. When we're dealing with matters, we consult among ourselves. We've got good men here that are directors, good men that are deacons. And these are men with whom we can counsel. And you know what? When you find in the Scripture and find in the wisdom of men who fear God things that will keep you in the wisdom of God, you're going to be in the favor of God. And I'll tell you honestly, there is so much foolishness now. Foolishness sells. I was listening to some broadcast the other day. I was trying to get something on Christian radio, and it really was a disastrous broadcast, so I flipped over to another channel. I was just driving from the church to the house. And this was on computers, I think, and it was an interesting discussion. The host was talking about people making money on YouTube and talking about the various, I think they call them YouTube channels. I'm not even familiar. But anyway, YouTube channels where people post videos and other people come to visit. And when they visit sufficient number of time, then the person who has the channel makes money. And they were talking about one fellow that was young and had made $16 million and another person who was young and had made $14 million. And the kinds of movies that were up there, the kinds of movie clips that were up there for people to see were foolish, absolutely foolish as it concerns the words of God, as it concerns even what you'd want to see. Just what it was mild entertainment somebody could go to amuse themselves, okay? And these people had millions of hits on these channels and on these foolish videos. But that's the world. They want to watch foolishness. They want to listen to foolishness. The news is mostly foolishness. It's mostly speculation. You've had several weeks now of a Malaysian air crash, and you don't have one iota of information today that gives you any more of an indication what happened to that jet than you did the first time you heard that something had happened. And yet the channels have been filled with news regarding this thing. It's terribly sad, but let me tell you something. There's no wisdom in that, in what's happened so far. None. They don't know what happened. They don't know why it happened, all those other things. Just speculation. People pay money to listen to speculation. Before the Super Bowl, weeks on end, 2-3 weeks, who's going to win, why they're going to win. You're not going to know the outcome of the game till the game is over, and then you'll know everything you need to know about it, and then they went on for another week or two about why it turned out the way that it did. You know what that is? That's foolishness. There's no wisdom in that whatsoever. There's no wisdom in a college education, not these days. Or you can make money with it, just like the guys on YouTube make money posting foolishness. But when they tell you in school that you've been here for 250 billion years, or at least this matter and this energy has, and that there's no God, that's foolishness. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, the Bible said, you see. And therefore, they're not in favor with the Lord. You're going to follow that kind of stuff. You're not going to be in favor with God, but you want to be in favor with God. Get some wisdom. And you get that wisdom by godly counsel of wise men, and you get it from the Bible. Spend your time there. All right, here's another way to obtain wisdom. You obtain wisdom by understanding. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 15. Good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard. Now, wisdom is something that comes from the time of applying, understanding comes from the time of applying wisdom. A person can have the wisdom to know that suffering accompanies fellowship with God. You know that from reading the Bible. And you may have had a little bit of suffering, and you found during that time that you were a little closer to God. But you know something? Until you have lived with suffering, you don't understand the depth of the fellowship that you have with God. I had a good friend of mine who was dying of hepatitis, and I called her about 2 weeks before she died. I was actually trying to not disturb her. I was going to speak with her husband. And she answered the phone because he was out, and we ended up talking on the telephone for 20 minutes. And during that 20-minute conversation, I didn't get to minister to her. She was ministering to me. And the reason that she was ministering to me is that she was talking about her personal fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ that is beyond anything that I had ever experienced before in my life. In the depths of her suffering, she had come to know a goodness of God and a fellowship with the Lord God that was unobtainable through any other means. Paul said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. All right? He had to get to that level to know and understand God to the extent that he did once he suffered to that degree. So that's much different than wisdom. But I'll tell you, when you get there, God, you find favor with God. Good understanding giveth favor because now you know him in a way that you could have never known him before. And the Lord's very favorable to that. That's loving favor. And the Lord said, that's far better than silver and gold because there's no way you can buy that kind of understanding. It is priceless. I'll tell you another way to obtain favor with the Lord is goodness. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 27 says, he that diligently seeketh good procureth favor. He that diligently seeketh good procureth favor, but he that seeketh mischief, it shall come unto him. Now, this kind of favor comes from seeking good. Well, there are a lot of things that are good. God is good. Know you not that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? His judgments are good. His ways are good. His words are good. His provisions are good. His people are good. The Bible talks about hospitality and being a lover of good men. Well, say, nobody's good. You know something? Once you've been saved and once you have the goodness of God in you, you know that there are men that are good men because it's a fruit of the Spirit of God. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. You see that? And so certainly there are people that are good men and lovers of good men. And I'll tell you something, you procure favor when you diligently seek good. Now, people aren't diligently seeking good now. You know what they like to seek after they've gone to work and put in their 8 hours? They come home, they turn on the television and watch some movie produced by Hollywood in which the name of the Lord God is taken in vain. That's right. Just the other day, we had the opportunity to spend a little time with a friend and left their company for a period of time, came back, and they were watching a movie. And when they did, one of the characters in the movie could not say a sentence without expletives that were not suitable for our ears and without taking the name of the Lord God in vain. I said, I'm not going to sit here and watch this. Fortunately, the channel changed, and that was the end of that. What's that all about? That's not good. Okay? And the reason, I'll tell you what, the reason that Christians these days, to me, are partly one of the reasons that they are so stressed out is that they're not dealing with good things. They're thinking about the things that are bad. The bad economy, the bad politics, the bad health care, the bad, whatever it is, bad state of international policy, whatever the case may be. But the Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. And what you need to do is you need to start dealing with true, honest, just, pure, lovely, and things of good report. That's what you need to do. And when you do and you diligently seek good, you're going to procure favor from the Lord. You say, well, I won't procure favor from my friends. Well, then you ought to change friends. Or they ought to change you because the just is an abomination to the unjust. One other way to obtain favor with the Lord is in marriage. Proverbs 18:22. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. You see that? Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. Now, this is true when you marry according to God's will, and especially not true when you marry contrary to the Lord's will. Finding a wife indicates that the fellow is careful in his pursuit and choice in this matter. So what I'll say is this. If you're not married, but you desire to be married, first of all, make yourself a mate worth marrying. Become a good husband. And you might find a good wife. Become a good wife to be, and you might find a good husband. People are too concerned about the other person rather than themselves. Make yourself a suitable mate, and you'll find, potentially find, a suitable mate. Second thing, go at this according to the Lord's will. The idea that you're saved and you are dating somebody who is not saved in hopes of being able to lead him or her to the Lord Jesus Christ is nonsense. I know that it's happened before. I realize and understand that completely. But listen, that's not the Lord's will. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Do you understand? And so, really, if you want to have favor with God in your marriage, make sure that you find a wife who is a provision to you from the Lord. A prudent wife is of the Lord, the Bible says. So today we're talking about loving favor. And I'm going to tell you something. I have lived in a relationship with the Lord where I have experienced his loving favor, and I have lived in the time with the Lord where I didn't experience his loving favor. And being in the loving favor of the Lord is by far preferable and much better than living without his favor. So I want to show you one more time that those that we find in the Bible who lived in the loving favor of the Lord are Jesus, Mary, David, Daniel, Abraham, and Samuel. And they obtained that loving favor with the Lord by these things. By righteousness, you never knew the Lord Jesus Christ to do anything that was wrong. By mercy and truth, the Bible says he is truth, and he always extended mercy. By wisdom, he is wisdom incarnate. By understanding, by goodness, and by marriage, the Lord is going to marry his bride. And you know something? He's found a good wife. Why? Because he made her good by his goodness. Now listen, listen. You want loving favor with the Lord? Then obtain it by righteousness. You start doing the right things. By mercy and truth, be merciful and always be truthful. By wisdom, get in that Bible and stay in that Bible. By understanding, trust the Lord to take you through experiences that will teach you something you can't learn by any other means. By goodness, allow the Spirit of God to produce that in you. And by marriage, listen, if you're not married, by finding the wife of the Lord's provision. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.